Well, hello there, and welcome to Arcadia. Chris Marcus here, founder of Arcadia Economics. Thank you, as always, for joining me. Today, we are going to cover the recent news of the Fed's tapering decision. Yes, as you probably heard, after months of speculation, the Fed did finally taper their rate of bond purchasing. Or in layman's terms, I don't want to say stop printing all the money that they're printing each month, but they are now printing slightly less per month. Previously, the Fed had been printing $85 billion per month in order to buy U.S. Treasury debt and mortgage-backed securities. Yes. Yes, we are talking about some of these same securities that brought the financial system to its knees in 2008, and that's what the Fed's debasing our currency to purchase. Anyways, they have been cranking along at a pace of $85 billion per month, and now, in a real sign of fiscal responsibility, well, rather, more specifically, monetary responsibility or lack thereof, they are now going to only print $75 billion per month. And I'm sure that everyone listening is relieved and thinking, wow, this is great news. The U.S. has finally got it under control, because now they don't have to print $85 billion a month to keep this Ponzi scheme together. $75 billion a month may or may not do the trick. And today what I'd like to get into is really looking at, A, if this actually means anything, and B, what it means and what we can expect going forward. And perhaps most importantly, one potential possibility, not a guaranteed outcome, but one potential possibility that I think really needs to be factored in, and I haven't seen many people mention this, so we'll get into that today, and that's how the bond market is really going to react to this poker move that the Fed is playing, in this poker game that the Fed is playing. It's bizarre when you think about the way in which the global markets have really been turned into this bizarre financial monetary experiment that the Fed is running that seems to actually have very little correlation to what's going on in the world. It used to be that the market was reflecting the production of the economy, whereas now we're told nonstop, at least if we're watching the mainstream media, that things go up or down based on what hedge funds are doing or what the 200-day moving average is. And if some chart shows a double humpback pattern, that means that something's going to go higher or lower, which it seems almost like something out of a science fiction movie more than some sort of cogent analysis of the financial markets. But that's nonetheless what the Fed has done. And again, while that really, I would say, is not ideal and isn't the way it should be, what we will look at today is what is and how we can interact with it and take the conditions that are given and make good decisions based on that. So again, going back to this tapering of the Fed's rate of bond purchasing or money printing, which really mean the same things, and you can use the terms interchangeably, because when the Fed says that they're buying bonds, they have to print money to do that. And what most people haven't pointed out is that while the market is looking at the Fed's tapering as some sign that they're not really going to print the dollar into hyperinflation, keep in mind that we're not talking about the Fed stopping the printing press or actually withdrawing all the printed money, which is always a promise part of the plan that never seems to end up actually happening. What this tapering move meant, again, was just that they were slowing down the rate of money printing. Now, if printing only $75 billion per month as opposed to $85 billion per month changes your opinion and makes you feel that this is actually a legitimate financial system that isn't based on artificial stimulus and printed dollars, then that's one way of looking at it. I would counter in saying that they're still printing an incredibly large amount a month. And what's even more important to look at is the impact that even this $10 billion has cost. And what I'm referring to is the activity in the bond market. Because regardless of all the other things that are happening, the big moves in the stock market, some of the fluctuations in the currencies, of course, a lot of the other various central banks and governments are doing similar things. So it's really a big distorted mess. And we've talked before about how, on one hand, we can see things aren't ideal. You see the news, you see Congress ignoring debt ceiling limits, coming up with fiscal cliffs, and whatever other nonsense that's thrown your way. Yet it's almost as if nothing happens. And again, the key that I'm looking to is really what happens in the bond market. Because essentially, the U.S. and a lot of the other governments as well, but we'll stick to the U.S. for this particular example. The government wants to spend money it doesn't have. Now, there's three ways of doing that. You can tax, borrow, or print. Now, regardless of one's feelings about taxation, it's hard to see how you're going to raise taxes enough to ever even if you raise taxes to 100%, that wouldn't make a dent into the amount of debt that the U.S. has accumulated. So, well, I don't doubt that there will be an attempt to increase taxation as an actual realistic solution to the depth of the problem that we have. Taxation is no longer a feasible solution. Again, with the borrowing, it seems that we've reached the point where other countries are starting to wake up. The foreign creditors are realizing that this money isn't going to be paid back. And while there isn't very clear objective data on exactly who's buying what, all the signs indicate that a lot of the people who were previously buying this debt have stopped at the same time where the U.S. wants to issue more than ever, which again comes back to the reason of why there has been so much money printing. It's simply the last option left. The problem, if Bernanke and soon to be Janet Yellen when she takes over as the chairman of the Fed, is that if they stop printing, that means that they're going to stop buying the bonds, stop buying the U.S. debt. And it seems as if nobody else, for rational reasons, wants to purchase debt at these levels. I mean, most people look at the U.S., or I'll speak for myself here, looking at the arguments in Congress, the discussion that goes on, the actual thought process, and it's hard to really construct a case of how if you lend your money to the U.S. government that you're going to get it back and it's still going to be worth anything by the time you do. I mean, it appears that they're going to do everything in their power to avoid actually explicitly defaulting, which would mean acknowledging that we've borrowed more than we can pay, we can't pay it back, let's restructure the debt, we'll make these payments, we'll write this part off, and at least we're starting a plan going forward that can be adhered to, and you can start rebuilding. That would again be the more responsible outcome, but the less politically feasible one. However, what we've seen more and more is that it's never quite yet the right time to unwind the stimulus. In place, you see that you have these year-long debates about tapering, and everyone is given the impression that there's some sort of monetary responsibility when, at the end of the day, here we are, finally got the tapering, and they're still printing $75 billion per month. But what I wonder is if we are beginning to reach the point where the market starts to get away from the Fed. And what I mean is that, again, if you adhere to the belief, which I would maintain, that all of this comes down to the bond market, and that once the U.S. no longer has the means to finance their spending, that's when we begin to have a situation whether it's like 2008 or the dot-com bubble that imploded in the late 90s, when all of these unnatural conditions actually turn into a problem. Now, if you remember, there was a big rise in interest rates really from close to the point last year where Bernanke first started talking about tapering. It was back in early May, and now the U.S. 10-year bond rate is up at over 3%, which has been a substantial rise. And you wonder if some of the people who don't yet realize what you understand are actually taking the Fed seriously. Because let's assume for a second, forget about my belief that this is all for show and none of it's real. But let's assume for a second that Bernanke and now Yellen and the rest of the Fed were actually going to unwind this policy and stop buying the bonds. That means you have to find another buyer. Now, the reason that the price of the bonds went so high is because everyone figured, well, I'll buy the bonds. They know that the Fed's buying them to push the price up, and they were able to win on that trade. But now if the Fed is going to stop buying the bonds, that means the interest rate is going to go up as the price drops. You've seen other investors pulling out of the bond market because they're saying, well, if the Fed is going to stop buying, that means the price is going to collapse. I better sell mine now. Again, the biggest reflection of this is in the fact that the interest rate has risen above 3%. And it will be interesting to see now as 2014 is underway, how the market really continues to react to this. Part of why I continue to say that this whole tapering debate is silly and is really largely just for show is that as things deteriorate, the Fed can, and I believe will, just as easily as they said they were going to reduce it by $10 billion, they could say, you know what, the economy's weakening again, it's not the right time, we have to raise it to a total of $100 billion or $150 billion or whatever it may be per month. Because that's the reason they've continued printing all along. You would think that they would at least realize that if they stop buying the bonds, interest rates are going to rise and there's going to be a problem financing the U.S. debt. So my belief is that this $10 billion reduction is more of a bluff than anything, or maybe it was just Bernanke's attempt to say at his last meeting, hey, I put things on the right path, that going forward we're going to be, maybe it was Bernanke's attempt at his last meeting to say, hey, before I left office, we started tapering, things were good, and when things blow up, that, hey, that happened after he left, because he left it in good hands. The unwinding was underway, which is a very manipulative way, if that is indeed the case, what he's doing, a very manipulative way of handling the situation. You saw similarly how Alan Greenspan and his monetary policy inflated a housing bubble, and as he started raising interest rates, which led to the popping of that bubble. Fortunately for him, he was out of office by the time it imploded, and he's still largely known as the maestro. So from Bernanke's perspective, he's on his way out. He looks like the guy who came in 2008, saved the day, and he left things, at least according to the mainstream view, he started getting the unwind underway, and anything that happens after this, you know, not his fault. I would disagree with that. I think this tapering was just for show. But what the risk that this has now opened up is that at least if Bernanke had not mentioned tapering the entire year and had just kept on printing, well, they may have had the advantage of keeping interest rates low. Whether this is just to save Bernanke on the way out, or whether it's been known all along that as soon as things get worse, if they slow down the printing, that they'll just pick it back up again. I wonder if in between there, enough people who don't understand what you already realize are taking the Fed seriously and are actually going to begin increasing the pace at which they're selling their own government debt and mortgage bonds. And if that actually accelerates the increase in interest rates, and it will be fascinating to see what happens if the 10-year rate quickly shoots up to 3.5%. If all these payments on government debt, all of these other derivatives and bank liabilities that are tied to this low interest environment, it's, again, the simple way of thinking of it is back to the housing crisis. Everything was great in 2004, 2005, when interest rates were low and people could afford the payments. But once the interest rates rise, that's when the real problem begins to occur, because the insolvencies are exposed. The insolvencies are already there right now. There's no question about that. You can see them as easily as I can. But when do they get exposed in a bigger way? That will be interesting to see how the market reacts to what we've seen with the tapering and where we are now, where they've actually taken, albeit a very minusculely small step. Now, if I thought that they were going to really taper even $10 billion every month, which still would be far too little too late, that would be a different story. But I think this is just a small fake out. But we'll see if people call their bluff and take them seriously, and then how quickly the money printing escalates again once trouble starts to emerge. Anyway, this is just one particular scenario of how things could play out. We know we can be fairly certain of the end game. We know that the U.S. is insolvent. It's physically impossible for them to repay this money, but how do we get from here to there is really the question, and the better we can understand that, the better we can prepare for that journey. And the bond market post-tapering will be the place to keep your eyes on. We will keep an eye on it for you, as always, here at Arcady Economics, and I thank you, as always, for joining us, and we'll see you again next week. Subscribe to the podcast, and you'll know as soon as these are uploaded, and you can stay ahead of mainstream media and the other misinformation that's out there. As always, I hope you have a profitable day, and we will see you again soon.